One, I will thank Dr. Drew for letting me drive, and two, tell you what that means. There's a very interesting computer screen saying who you are and what you want, and then I can choose at my own discretion who we talk to. So if you're on hold a really long time, you'll be mad at me tonight, but I'm going to try and get to everybody.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
How you been? How's your day?
I'm good, thanks. Long?
Meetings? Oh, you got your tooth. Fantastic. Very nice.
I had no idea I was vain. If you were listening last night, Dr. Drew was so kind to point out that I looked like Jethro.
No, Alfred E. Newman.
Alfred E. Newman. And I didn't think I would care. Like, when I do a TV show or something like that, I never wear hair, makeup, or have them do my nothing. I just walk on. Because a lady went to school for a couple of years or whatever to be a makeup artist. Like, lady, I'm going to be 5'6" with red hair and freckles when you're done. Just don't waste anybody's time here. But when my tooth came out, I could not fake. People would laugh when I talked, and I take myself far too seriously.
Right.
And people would, the second I'd start speaking, people would laugh.
Oh, that's funny.
And, you know, I go to some effort to be funny sometimes. Like, save that, will ya? Well, just crack up when I say hi.
Oh, my goodness. So
so this
ran out and got your tooth replaced.
No, they couldn't do it, but dentists are like magic. Who knew? This is just some, like, I don't know, he mixed it up in a bowl. He took
Let's see it. Wait. So that's coming
out tomorrow, so the real tooth can come in. But I said I have to have something today.
Wait, which tooth? I can't even tell which one it is.
The one a little whiter than the rest.
Oh yeah.
But the rest of you, it's the one that's a little here. Take a look.
He just formed it. He just like a paste and put it in there.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, he just made a like some ceramic type mix and put it in and glued it on and then made an appointment right away because he knew if this thing stays in my mouth, I'll never see him again.
Right.
I won't go back to the dentist if I have something that looks like a tooth in my mouth. Why would you put yourself through that?
Right.
So this thing's going to fall out any second.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
How about you? Anything exciting in the doctor
world? Hospital all day. No. So I interviewed Sharon Osbourne today, who's delightful, about colon cancer and doing something for Discovery Health Channel.
Right.
That's it. Just, you know, she's great. I mean, I love Sharon.
Right. When she did the talk show,
yeah.
I thought she was going to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know what
did
it was?
Did you do the talk show? Did you ever?
No, I was asked to be on it. I went to be on it, and it wasn't there when I got there.
Oh.
Yeah, it came and went rather quickly. But I thought she was great. I got to be rather good friends with her husband, though.
He's a good guy.
I didn't expect it. I really didn't expect it. That's a fine guy.
He is.
He's a decent man.
Yeah.
And he's not kidding about caring about his kids, because I know Jack fairly well, too.
No, you tell me if you have the same kind of feeling about those five people. I'm talking about Amy,
right.
And Kelly.
I don't
and
know
Jack.
Amy.
Well, they're really all the same in that we all watch a lot of goofiness amongst them. You know, the sort of dynamic of the family.
Right.
People. That was the TV show. But you talk to any one of them one-on-one, close the door, and you there's no doubt you're with someone.
Yeah.
You know I mean, they're substantial.
And a reasonably articulate person. Which,
substantial.
Once you
in
learn
all
to,
sense.
Once you learn to decipher Ozzy, you know, once you speak Ozzy,
another
what he's saying
yes.
is rather important.
I mean, they are intelligent. They're rich in
terms
of...
Well, no, I really don't. I'm really...
A hermit.
Got it, see? You just have to sit through that to get that he's a hermit. And if Sharon wasn't there to back him up, I'd have gotten that eventually.
Right, eventually.
Because this happens to me sometimes. What he said is, somebody who said he wanted to say that he's a recluse or something like that, and he just said, to go, I'm a hermit, he just said, well, don't go out.
Yeah.
And then somebody go, hermit, and he'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you speak, and it's a code.
Right. And he's thinking a lot of time when the stuttering's going on.
Yeah. Because he is not...
I kind of like that. It would buy me some time.
Me too, because it's better than those guys, and I know at first you're going to think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Those guys that think before they answer, that's an uncomfortable conversation with me, because it sounds like this. Do you think we should be in this country doing this as Americans? And they say... Oh, dude, have an answer ready for me.
Yeah.
Even if it's wrong, think it while you're saying it, but don't do that. I hate that.
Yeah. Well, Sharon is doing an organization for Cedars-Sinai, basically a colon cancer program, where she gets volunteers to go in to help with people with colon cancer. It's a really cool program.
Is colon cancer as infrequent to women as breast cancer is to men?
No. It's more common than that.
It is more common.
Oh, yeah, a lot more common. But people don't think of it as a women's disease. But, yeah, it's pretty common.
I thought I had breast cancer once.
Yeah?
Not that long ago.
You had steroid.
That's exactly what I had.
Steroid breast growth.
I said to this doctor, and this was so not his field. I don't know what. He could have been a plastic surgeon for all I know. I said, do you know anything about male breast cancer? He said, yeah. I said, can I close your door? Because I wanted to take off my shirt and have him feel these obvious lumps that hurt. And I said, can I close your door? And he goes, sure. And then, oh, wait, let me, because I had some ideas that it probably wasn't.
Yeah.
I said, what are the odds of having lumps in both breasts? And he said, almost nil.
Yeah.
And I said, what are the possibilities that steroid caused this? And he went, you'll be fine.
But 100%.
They were scary.
You know, a lot of these guys take tamoxifen, which is an anti-estrogen to block the breast growth from steroids. So having the steroids...
I have the Mexican version of that.
Well, I might have known that the testosterone is so overloads your system that it actually starts getting converted to estrogen.
Absolutely.
And then you get the breast growth.
That's a bad thing to have happen.
If you're looking for building muscles, yeah, you're not looking for nipple
development. Well, you can see big muscles under that when it happens to a guy, because I see guys like that all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just, and I was so nervous at first. You'd still be, if I were to do them again, I'd be nervous again.
By getting a nipple?
When you travel over an international border with steroids that say veterinario and have a picture of a horse on them, and you're going to shoot that goo into your body,
nice.
It's a little unnerving.
Nice.
Even for me, that's a little unnerving.
Take calls.
Shall we take calls?
Yeah.
I think we should. Let's go right to the young ladies. Let's go to Karen, I believe. Hey, Karen, you're on Love Line.
Hello? Oh, yes. I had a question.
Yes?
When my boyfriend are having sex, sometimes, like, my crotch will turn really cold, like, on, like, the inside and towards the outside.
Oh, don't worry. Women's crotches are always cold.
No. And then, like, there's, like, pain is such, like, pointy, like, inside. It starts to hurt.
So you becomes irritated is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he wearing a condom?
No.
And how long into...
Are you using a spermicide?
No, I'm on birth control, actually.
How long into the act does this happen?
It's just like, once it starts happening during sex, like, the rest of it just hurts. It just feels...
Karen, I'm going to ask the question again. It's not a trick question. How many minutes into the act before this starts happening?
Probably, like, when it does, like, 5.
So after 5 minutes, you start feeling this funny way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go out with a younger guy. You'll avoid this problem.
You'll only last
3 minutes and everything will be fine.
And that's what I'm getting. It may just be irritation. And the cold feeling may just be sort of inflammatory. You know, except when you go too long, women just get out. They get inflamed.
Yeah.
Do you have swelling and inflammation afterwards?
Yeah. Well, sometimes, like, we'll have sex tonight, and then, like, the next day we can't have sex because it hurts too bad.
Yeah, and you better be checked, too, to make sure it's not an infection, because that's the other thing that can contribute to this is a vaginal infection or even a yeast infection sometimes, or even a more serious, like a cervical infection. Okay?
Oh, okay.
I would go and see your doctor on this one. That would be my call.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not that it's getting cold. It's that it's getting inflamed.
You know, it's really weird that we've got so many girls having issues this evening right off the bat. This, I believe, would be Vanessa. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, how's it going?
Real well, thanks. What can we do for you?
Okay, well, the first time I ever successfully masturbated, it was with a friend on the telephone. He was, like, telling me what to do. And now, ever since then, like, the only time I can ever really get myself off is if I call one of those, like, chat line things. And it's kind of embarrassing for me, and I kind of don't like it.
Hold on. I got a bunch of questions. How old were you? How old were you when your friend taught you how to masturbate?
I was 15.
15. And what was that circumstance? How did that go down? I mean, is it a boyfriend?
He was more like a friend I had a crush on, and he lived in another state.
And how did he happen to talk you into this act online when you weren't his boyfriend?
It wasn't online. I knew him.
I mean on the phone. I mean on the phone line. That's the old term for online.
Right, online.
Who was on the line?
Are we talking phone sex here?
Kind of phone sex, but he sort of talked her through masturbation.
Oh,
and
okay.
I'm just wondering, how the hell did a 15-year-old do that? How did that happen?
Well,
sort of a weird thing.
How was the 15-year-old able to instruct, or how was the 15-year-old able to receive instruction?
How did this guy pull that off in the first place? How did he get her to go down this path, and how did he know what the hell to tell her? And you know, I have a million questions about this. It's just a weird situation for two 15-year-old, not boyfriend, girlfriend, to start doing that.
I'm a pretty horny person, so I guess it wasn't that hard. I mean, it was a little hard to get me to do it, but somehow... masturbation came up, and you know.
Did you already masturbate a lot?
No, I had tried. I like put music on, and it just didn't work for me.
But having him talk you through it did.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a big question: Was he masturbating simultaneously?
I think so. Yeah.
See, that would be always the thing with me. I'd be sitting there doing my part, And she'd be saying all this, and I'd be saying all that, and I know she's, like, doing the dishes. She's got, like, a hands-free thing, and she's just saying, yeah, yeah, honey, I'm doing this to myself. It's really fascinating.
I'm serious. And, like, I feel kind of a little shameful when I call these things because I'm just, like, talking to some stranger, and they're turning me on, and then I get off, and it's, like, awkward.
Well, let me tell you that one of the things that does happen is that whatever your sort of early sexual experiences are, you mm-hmm. kind of get, I don't want to say hardwired because it's not really accurate, but just sort of get ingrained.
Yeah.
That you know, like guys, for instance, Danny, remember like what Playboys you looked at when you were 15? Mm-hmm. That becomes your sort of sweet spot for a woman. That,
right.
You know, what you, now some of it is what you're already attracted to, but some of it is what you develop by looking at these things.
And for the longest time, all my girlfriends kind of looked alike.
Uh-huh. And so this is that kind of a thing. That was your first sexual experience. So that's sort of, that's the zone you're in. You sort of like that. You've sort of ingrained with it, maybe even hardwired, perhaps.
Can I tell you something that you're going to hate about 15-year-old boys?
What?
His friends were there.
Oh.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were.
It was only one time, or was it multiple times?
I think we only did it once.
Dude, his friends were so
Even the one time?
High-fiving each other. Everybody had their faces in pillows going, yeah, yeah, I want to do that thing. See if she'll do that. Tell her she needs to smear Alpo on her. Sorry about that, though.
So, Vanessa, what's the question? How do you break this habit?
That, or, like, how can I become okay with it? I mean, I've tried...
You need a relationship. Do you have a boyfriend? Yeah. Do you have a boyfriend?
No. I started seeing someone a few weeks ago, and, like, we waited 2 weeks before we had sex, and that wasn't long enough for me. I used to sleep with people really early on, and now I'm trying to, like, hold out, and...
You need to have a boyfriend.
You know what you could also do is just have your boyfriend go into the next room and call you.
Just have a boyfriend. Yeah, well, that would incorporate the whole thing.
You know? That's, but the thing is with the sex lines, and this is where I acquiesce to the doctor, because sometimes he just pulls these out, and I couldn't be more wrong. So I'm going to ask, what's the harm here? What's the harm that she likes chat lines? They're harmless. They're anonymous.
There's really no harm in and of itself. It's just that people that sort of need certain kinds of arousal in order to get bisexual start to sort of tire of one level and go to the next and the next and the next. And really, what kind of pulls people out of that, if they're going to come out of that spiral,
right,
is human contact, a real relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just to get a relationship.
But you know what it is? That there's so many variables on a relationship because most of the ones I know are disastrous.
Well, there's that.
You know?
Yeah.
Because my relationship has been disastrous for most of the 15 years. And if you add it up, there's probably been 20 really horrible nights out of 15 years. So it sounds like everybody's getting a nice ride.
Yeah.
But say one of those nights is jail, one of those nights is another woman, one of those nights is convulsing because I took too many drugs. Really? It only took a night out of 15 years, but that's a bad night that hangs with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I would not say we had a terrible relationship, but it's certainly better now, and I have one friend who wants to get married and one friend who is married.
Yeah.
And I saw one friend crying the other day because she has no husband. Uh-huh. And the next day I saw my other friend and she was crying because she does.
Mm.
It's a convoluted, confusing thing.
Yes.
What a relationship will be
right
for you.
We're upset if we're alone and feeling sort of without someone, and we're upset when we're with someone and creating chaos.
All right, here's where I'm going to jump right over to your expertise, man, because I never heard of such a thing and don't know if it's possible. This is Kiki. How are you?
Hi,
Hi.
I was tested with chlamydia, but, like, I'm virgin, like, and my mom just, like, flipped out and was like,
yeah, right, much like I speak Aussie, let me try and explain what she's saying. She's 16 years old. She is a virgin. She was recently diagnosed with chlamydia, and she is not sure how that is possible.
Exactly. Like, I don't know, my mom just, like, flipped out, and she was like, oh, my gosh, I know you're, like, doing everybody, and I was like, Mom, I'm so virgin.
Didn't you call once already?
No, I haven't.
She sounds just like the chick.
This phantom chlamydia is going all the way around. Is this possible, Doc?
She sounds like the girl that was raped.
How was this diagnosed?
Excuse me?
How was it diagnosed?
My mom had me go into a clinic.
And what did they do?
They just, like, they put cotton swabs and, like,
It wasn't a urine screen. It was something where they actually cultured you.
Hey, Drew, I was talking to you earlier, but you couldn't hear me because I wasn't turned up for you guys. But it sounds just like that girl that called last week, and she was raped by her uncle.
Were you raped by your uncle?
Yes, right.
The immaculate infection call?
Kiki?
Right.
Oh, beautifully said, by the way. Kiki?
Yeah?
Dude, one of us is a doctor, and one of us is completely uncaring. So feel free to tell us what's happening. Are you the young girl that was raped by your uncle and now carries an STD?
Yeah. No, I've never been raped.
Because we had this call last week, and we went through the same litany of questions, and the girl said, finally said, well, and I've never had, I was a virgin, except my young uncle used to rape me when I was 9.
And that is you, not you, Kiki.
No.
Or actually 6, I think, if I remember right. And by the way, not a virgin at that point. I'm sorry the guy was an a-hole, but you can't sort of declare yourself virgin.
No. For me, I want you to know, though, something.
Her name was Kiki, though, Anderson.
If somebody had been sexually assaulted or someone had given their love to someone, to me, if I had to have a problem with the girl, you know, I would help a girl through any sexual assault. She's the love of my life. It was not her fault. This is nothing that she's done.
Yeah.
But a girlfriend of mine liking somebody else, that would be unbearable
for
me.
Or even having lunch with somebody.
Dear, I hate it all. Somebody says nice dress to my wife, I want to kill them. I'm not good. All right, so...
like on steroids? Must be just awful. All right, Kiki, here's the deal. You've been sexually abused, is that right? No previous sexual contact of any kind ever in your life?
At all. Hmm?
Never any kind in your life?
Never.
Nobody's hands have touched you. Nobody's mouth has touched you.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oops. Kiki?
God, sometimes I just want to go through the phones and go, he's a real doctor, and you called him.
See, I think this is the same.
The same girl, and she's, you know, so it is impossible.
No, you can be misdiagnosed. That's
right,
possible.
But you can't get
a false positive, but there's really no way to get it.
You would not believe the explanations I was prepared to come up to for why I got something. I couldn't pot the jacuzzi. It's the jacuzzi, baby. I never did. I'd do studies. How long can this last on this? Ooh, you stay on a towel 20 minutes? All right, if that one pops up, I got an excuse. All right, we're going to go for it. This is going to be kind of interesting right here. And I think this is possible only because I've had a couple of problems in this area myself. Greg.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Okay, let's see. It was at least a year ago, I was in an accident, an ATV accident, and I sustained an injury on the penis.
You what?
And an injury on the penis.
Did you do an end over? Did you hit your front wheels and then bang your scrotum into the gas tank?
Let me share a love line call from at least 12 years ago. Guy was describing an ATV incident. He was like 12 years old. He hit hard on the had a tremendous pain in his groin, ran behind a billboard, and looked and saw his testy hanging out of his scrotum. He'd ruptured the scrotum, pushed this testy back in, held the scrotum closed, never told anybody.
Did it
and the
heal?
Thing healed on its own. And now I think the testy was lost because he was describing to us how it's
their infection had to have,
no infection, amazingly.
You know, but by the way, ATV stands for anti-testicle vehicle. Okay? You just shouldn't ride them if you want to keep your testicles.
But imagine you look, you're 10 years, 12 years old, you look down, your testicles hanging out of your scrotum.
That'd just be so hard.
He'll push it back in.
But this guy's problem, that his penis became curved after the accident. And I, from practical experience, not myself, but a friend that I know, did something entirely else to, there's a blood tube of some kind, or a fluid tube running down your penis,
yes,
right?
Two tubes.
And he hit something with it he shouldn't have harder than he wanted to, and it actually broke.
Yeah, you can break it.
And it like, was
well, that's
a big
during
thing.
Intercourse. That's a common
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
What happened, this is, you fracture your penis. This is when you're having sex, you slip out and don't go back in.
Right, exactly.
And you hear a big old crackola.
That's what he said.
And then things, it gets like a tire bleb. And then it becomes a giant, giant swollen black mushroom.
So is the question then, Greg, since you have mashed your penis on a motorcycle...
My question is this. It seems, and I could be wrong, this could be psychological, but it seems to be more difficult to maintain an erection and to get off than it was before the accident.
How long ago did this happen?
At least a year ago.
It's possible. And is there curvature?
There's a curvature. I'm telling you, I was as straight as an arrow, and I'm not talking about my sexual orientation. Before this accident, I was completely straight. But after this accident, there's probably, there's a curvature, probably about 15 degrees. But if you pull on the skin during an erection, it can go up to about 35 degrees.
Well, you know what, by the way, just so you know, this. If you have a girlfriend, do you have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
This is not just your problem. That's gotta hurt.
Yeah, it can hurt.
That's good. Because what's gonna happen is you'll have to enter sideways kind of a little bit.
Yeah.
And it'll straighten out just because of the pressure of her vaginal walls. But then it's gonna take a hard left into a tubular area that it doesn't want to go and does not belong. That's so true. This is pretty much her problem too.
Yeah, you're in fact right that it's called acquired Peyronie's, and sometimes about 800 units of vitamin E a day can be helpful for that. So go get that. There is an operation to correct it, particularly if you're having erectile dysfunction, which can happen with this thing. You can have trouble getting erection, maintaining erection, keeping erection, whatnot. And the degree of curvature doesn't necessarily predict that. Many women, while, you know, sort of curving down can be sort of fits the how the vagina is directed, still women complain about discomfort. And if it's uncomfortable to the partner, sometimes the operation is next to the problem with the operation. Danny, bear with me here. Here's the Peyronie's pulling over to the side.
Right.
The only way they can fix it is taking a pie cut out of the opposite side and pulling it around, and that shortens it.
Oh, I'm just going to tell everybody has osteoporosis not to touch it. But you can learn things on Loveline. I promise you this. I said something about my wife's private parts last night that was rather blunt and to the point. So last night when I went home, she started yelling at me. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I meant you had a patrious vagina.
Patulous.
Ah, you bastard. This is Loveline. Our phone numbers are 1-800-LOVE-191. He's Dr. Drew. I'm Danny Bonucci. We'll be right back.
Buddies, Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Danny Bonaducci. And this, very quickly, is Nicole. By the way, Hoobastankin' here tomorrow night with Danny. Hey, Nicole, what's happening?
Nothing. How are you?
Good.
Good. I was just wondering if you could suggest, like, a kind of therapy that doesn't involve having a sit-down session.
12-step.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, Nicole. There, because we live in this really messed up world right now where people believe that they can read self-help books and really change their lives and change who they are, unfortunately, you can do very little by reading. You can come to an understanding of how you work, but to actually change how your psyche works requires what we call satellite central nervous systems. You need other people's minds with you while you have experiences to change the wiring in your brain so your emotional systems operate differently. You cannot do that by yourself, and you sure as hell can't do it by reading a book.
And I will tell you why I agree with the doctor, usually because he's the doctor. But the other thing is, I am a voracious reader, and I have gone through some times, and I look down on self-help books. I really do. I'm a snob about what I read. But I have been in such trouble in my life that, okay, let me try this to save me. And the problem is, if you read one book, it might make you feel real good. Then you read the next book, and it completely contradicts everything you just read. You know,
it's all cognitive, though. It's all intellectual, and it's all understanding. It's not emotional, experiential. People change through experience. And you really, it's very difficult to have much of an experience through a book. You can, to a certain extent, but for the reality of having genuine change, all therapy is somebody sitting there attuning to your emotions while you have feelings.
Right.
That's it. Just sitting there and being with you, maintaining a boundary, and just being there. That's it. That's good therapy.
A couple good ways to think about what you'll get from reading a book, though. Why don't you read a book on either how to fly a plane or how to do brain surgery.
Right.
And then once you've read the world's greatest book on brain surgery, see how many volunteers you get to let them be your doctor.
Right.
And your soul and your opinions and your feelings are just that important. And even if it's a wonderful book, I've read a book called, was given to me by everybody in the world recently, A Purpose-Driven Life.
Oh, yeah.
You ever read that book or know about the book?
Yep.
Wonderful, wonderful book. But your mind, soul, and spirit forget because they're dragged back to the things that made you buy the book in the first place.
Right.
All right.
Nicole, why won't you have a sit down, so to speak?
I've been to therapy before and I didn't get anything out of it. It was
how many years did you go for?
I went for probably like 6 or 8 months.
Yeah. Really not a bad run, really.
Not a bad run.
But it wasn't about this. It was about something else. And like I just stopped going because I didn't feel like the problem was being solved.
What's the problem?
Now?
Yeah.
I just have, like, a real problem trusting guys in general.
Oh, I see. The problem is you're smart. Okay? Guys are not a trusting species. is, in my opinion, they're not an appropriate gender to put your faith into. No. And I'm not saying this to be clever or funny or mean or anything. I'm trying, you know, I like this gig. I like sitting in here. And I'm not gonna get to stay a little longer and not going to get coming back tomorrow if I just try and make jokes all the time. I am telling you how I feel. And sure, your daddy can be different. And sure, your Uncle Joe or the guy you really like and admire can be. That's great. But they're the exception that proves the rule. Men are one opposable thumb up from the animal kingdom. Mm-hmm. And just like a wolf will eat his own, men will do anything for sex, comfort, and food.
So now that Nicole's been genuinely helped by this program.
I think she has. I think the next guy comes up to her and goes, you have beautiful eyes. She's going to know, you're trying to bone me.
You're an a-hole. But yeah. But here's the deal, Nicole. You're really saying you can't be emotionally open with another person.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and that's really the problem. It's not the fact that guys are untrustworthy, the fact. But that even so, when you find someone, occasionally...
I think it's me.
But then again, maybe that's something protecting you. Have you ever had a boyfriend?
Yes.
And was he a good guy or bad guy?
He was good, but I broke up with him anyways.
What was your dad like? Your dad?
I've never met him.
Okay. So that's why you can't trust guys. Because your dad abandoned you, and you expect guys to abandon you.
Yeah, I always first.
Right, and that's a way of having control over that abandonment. If you're either going to be very, very attracted to abandoning guys, in which case you will get abandoned, and that's the kind of guy that's really going to turn you on, or you're going to find the kind of guy you should be with, a nice guy, and then you'll abandon
him. Dumping him like a hot rock, yes you will.
So there you go. So that it does require a bit of therapy or time. You're only 20. You can give it some time, see if you can kind of work on through that.
But it is something to work on through.
No amount of reading a book is going to change that.
Exactly.
No amount. It's a very... Here, we just described your entire problem. You understand it?
Right.
That's as much understanding as you need. Now, go forward. Yeah. Make change. Well, of course, you can't change because that system is deeply wired into your brain from having had the abandoning father. The only way you can unwire that is by having a deep relationship with a therapist who teaches you can be open, you can connect, you can be emotionally vulnerable, and that person is still there for you.
Here's the quick on therapy and therapists, though, in my opinion, or at least for me, because I've been there, is that you find yourself showing off for the first, and it's costing you money. Mm-hmm. And you want to go in there. For me, I need the doctor to know I truly believe I'm the worst person in the world. And until he accepts that, I will tell him story after story after story of unacceptable behaviors I have done. Whether, you know, where it's some guy in a bar who wasn't even doing anything wrong.
And so once the doctor goes, damn it, you're an a-hole. Okay, now what?
Do you know what?
Where do
That's
we do
when
that?
He wins me over.
Well, what do we?
Goes, I get it. You're a jerk.
You're an a-hole.
Now let's start.
And what do you? Where do you go next? Where do you?
Then I tell him where, because mostly...
Is it a friendship kind of thing?
This is such a drag, because, no, not often. Most good therapists I found will keep you. They don't want to
No, I don't mean you'd be a friend. I mean, it's a friendly dialogue at that point, or has it become a hostile dialogue?
No,
I guess that's what stops me.
The hostility is to impress him.
Uh-huh.
I want to try and scare him. Like, if I push Danny too far, who knows what he might do?
Right.
When the fact is, I'm just scared of something. I wouldn't be there if I wasn't scared of something.
Right.
I have never gone to a psychiatrist or a therapist to quit drugs because I wanted to quit drugs. I went because people made me.
Yeah.
The day I got scared, oh, my God, this has a grip on me. I'm not going to be able to function soon. I'm not going to be able to make a living soon. That's when I went of my own volition, and that's when things started to change.
And once you get behind the bravado and stuff, what happens? What's the relationship like with the therapist?
I'm not a big fan of PhDs. Uh-huh. I know therapists are therapists, and mostly psychiatrists write appropriate medications. I like psychiatrists better.
So you go to some psychiatrists that do therapy.
Yeah, and often they'll recommend me to go to a therapist.
Okay.
Because I'm busy. Let's cruise on down the line here. This is Lindsay. What can we do for you, Lindsay?
Hello?
Lindsay with us? Hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good. What can we do for you?
I had a quick question for you guys. I just want to know why it is that every time majority of time that I'll go out to the bars and I drink too much and I tend to black out, I will try to, I will flirt with other females or try to make out with them. And my latest episode was I smoked weed and I drank and I ended up making out with my boyfriend's sister. And didn't tell my boyfriend, he has no idea, and it's just been kind of hush-hush between her and me and our mutual friend.
That's three.
I'm really starting to get nervous, or I'm getting pretty nervous. Like, I don't understand why this is about me. Like,
does your boyfriend
like
listen to Loveline and maybe possibly heard this just now? Because that'd be cool.
What's that?
Does your boyfriend listen to this radio program?
Oh, no. He's sleeping right now. He has to work early.
Mm. Okay, aside from his sister, which might just scar him for life, there are a lot of guys in your age bracket that would kill for a girl that has a couple of drinks and start kissing other chicks at the bar. I would happen to be one of them, just not in the ballpark. I'm the ballpark of your dad. But still, you know, a girl has a couple of drinks. By nature, she doesn't do this, but after a couple of drinks, like, I get loud and obnoxious. After a couple of drinks, you start making out with chicks. I dig that.
Right, and I would do it with my roommate, who I lived with. Like, you know, like, her and I had made out a few times after we had drank, and it just started to get pretty bad to where I was, you know, I was trying to make out with her all the time after I'd been drinking, and I don't understand why I'm doing this.
I figured it out. You're gay.
No.
Yes.
No.
Sorry. What you want to be, a drunk or a lesbo?
I'd rather be neither.
Well, you're stuck.
You are a drunk.
Yeah, you're
no,
drunk.
There's no doubt about that. You're an alcoholic, but you're too young to sort of hear that now. The blacking out, the horrible consequences.
If you're not gay and you get drunk enough to make out with chicks, then you're a drunk.
Hey, Danny, are you drinking tonight?
Not tonight.
Because you said you got loud and obnoxious after a couple of drinks. So I was just
Anderson.
Look at him go.
Dude. But, Lindsay, here's the deal. Well, what I hear is, like, lonely and empty. And that you're looking sort of like desperate for human contact, and girls sort of give you that tenderness you're looking for.
Right.
What's that all about?
I don't know. Like, I do. I feel like, especially, like, I just have a lot of things going on in my life right now. It's just, I do definitely feel just kind of lonely.
Empty. Empty.
Yeah, and empty. Yeah, I do. I really do.
I feel it and hear it.
Yeah,
so, and
really
girls
do.
Are, you know, a 24-year-old girl is able to give you a little more tenderness than a 24-year-old boy, especially when you're loaded.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it makes sense to me that you sort of gravitate in that direction.
Yeah, but when you're leaning over the bowl barfing, should put your hair up in a scrunchie. That's a chick. Yeah, I just won't do that.
But why the emptiness? Why the, ooh, chaos? What, where am I, the chaos with your mom or something?
Not really. It's, I just, like, I don't have any kind of contact with my father at all.
Why?
I don't know. He just kind of just gave up or something. I don't know.
I still get chaos from the mom.
Yeah.
Mom would have been pretty chaotic. That's why dad left.
My mom is a very frugal money person. She loves to nag, and it's pretty hard on me with her, like, you know, just. She nags about everything in my life, and I open up, I guess, too much to my mom, and, you know.
You heard that caller we had. You heard that caller a few minutes ago that had
Nicole?
The abandoning. No, the one that had the abandoning dad. Yeah. And that's you. So why don't you try to have a relationship with a decent guy, and maybe that emptiness will fill up a bit.
Oh, I do, and I have a boyfriend right now, and I just absolutely love him. He's a great guy, you know, hardly drinks, doesn't do drugs, and, you know, and I've been like that.
Boring.
Girl. Yeah. Yeah. You know, when that's the best recommendation you can give is, and he hardly drinks, doesn't take drugs, rarely kills people. I just don't know. I think we have time for at least one more.
Yeah.
Let's go to...
Take a couple of Danny calls.
Really? You want to?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
I didn't want to show up, but all right.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Hey.
Hey, you're on Loveline, buddy.
Hey, thank you, guys. Hey, I've been following your show since, like, the MTV days.
Right.
And, I want to give Dr. Drew, first of all, thank you. I've learned so much from you. You kind of make me feel like I'm normal sometimes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I appreciate that. My call tonight was to give a big thanks to Danny.
Really?
I was listening to some of your stories about your history, some of the crazy things you've done. Also, I started hearing you talk about your use of antidepressants and mood-enhancing prescription drugs that you were prescribed.
I'm not sure about mood-enhancing.
Mood stabilizers.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a better choice of words.
I take my lithium and my Lamictal.
Okay, well,
I take it religiously.
I'm not on anything yet, but I've been in therapy since the beginning of April. I'm manic depressive and bipolar, and I've had a few episodes. But since I've been in therapy, my episodes are getting much less frequent.
And because of hearing Danny talk, you're going to maybe try some medication?
Hmm? I think so. They're trying to get me to take medications. I've been resistant to it. And
you know what? Bipolar is a highly biological event.
Let me tell you about this being resistant to it. Okay, because I had a red hot morning show where they're throwing money at me. And everybody says, we want to medicate you. And I'm thinking, are you out of your mind? It's the mania that pays the rent.
Yeah.
Here's the cool thing, Jeff, and I want you to believe me because... I make no profit in any way, shape, or form of telling you the wrong advice. The medication takes away none of the good stuff. None of it. You'll be as sharp or sharper, is what I found out, as you were before. You will be quicker to go. You'll have answers faster. All the stuff that's dragging around the sludge, that's what it affects. You're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You'll be happy you did it, I promise.
And I look forward to that. I think I'm going to, just because of you, you're successful, and to hear you on the radio saying, I'm on these things, just to admit that on the radio.
Feel free to do it, Jeff. And by the way, feel free to thank me every day.
One more Danny call.
One more Danny call. Yeah. Which one's another Danny call? Another line five. All right, here we go. Danny call is Sherry. What's up, Sherry?
Danny, oh my God, I'm so glad I finally found you.
I'm right here.
I found you.
I have totally missed you. I followed you through Star, and then you disappeared, and I called him. I'm like, what's up? Where's Danny?
And I bet they asked, yeah, we were wondering the same thing. Now, it reads here that you and your boyfriend and I come from the same seed.
Yeah, even if your mom was like a totally good, sweet little lady, if his dad was such a player, wherever they dance close, you guys come from the same seed.
that's the erection show from last night. We dance close with a woman. And you can,
I see.
She can feel you up against her.
I see.
Hey, you know, he's hot. You guys are both hot.
Well, thank you, man.
Hey, I'm happy you guys are all good. I guess now I got to go to Dr. Drew, though, to ask. My boyfriend is 45. He's on Zoloft and a low presser.
Yeah.
And I want to know if that will help him.
Boring.
Hang on.
No.
Will it help him what?
Erection. He keeps an erection forever, but he just doesn't get off. Could that be a mind control, or is he just boring?
No, that's the Zoloft.
Yeah.
Zoloft delays ejaculation.
Oh.
But there's a lot of things you're lucky, because a lot of things delay erection.
Yes.
You know, if you want to have sex with this guy,
right,
he's still capable.
Both the Zoloft and Lopressor can screw with his libido, so at least he still wants to have sex. So that's good.
He'll just go with it. You know, does he finish? No.
Yeah, that's the Zoloft.
But believe me, if you think that's driving you crazy, that's driving him over the edge.
Oh, yeesh.
Can you imagine wanting nothing more? And most guys I know, and especially younger guys, I just think I have an issue. But younger guys want sex more than anything in the world. But it's not sex till, you know, the fat lady sings. And by the way, fat ladies rock. Oh, was that just me? All right, we're going to take a little break. Our phone numbers are 1-800-LOVE-191. He's Dr. Drew. I'm Danny Bonaducci, and this is Loveline. All right, this is Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew in the house, as always. Special guest, really clever guy, Danny Bonaducci. She's sitting in with him. If you have a question, comment, or anything, shut up. Or anything you want to know, please feel free to give us a call. That's, once again, it is 1-800-LOVE-191. I like that one. Let's go talk to Shane. Hiya, Shane. How you doing?
How's it going, fellas?
We're good, but you're a boy.
What's up there, Shane?
I've got a serious problem. I don't know if it's just psychological. I'm 31-year-old male. I have never had any previous sexual problems. I was married previously, had a normal sex life.
You were married previously. Why'd that end?
Irreconcilable differences, I guess. We have a daughter.
Yeah, dude, we're not your divorce lawyer. Irreconcilable differences just won't do on
the
low
line.
What
the hell does that mean?
My problem now is my wife at the time, I'm extremely attracted to her. She's a beautiful lady. I love her. She's very sexually aggressive. She requires sex far more than what I'm used to, I guess.
How often?
As often as possible. I mean, every night.
How often?
Have it her way. Every night.
Once a night?
She wants two or three times. I mean, I would say she's a nymphomaniac. But what has happened is it has caused me, in my opinion, to withdraw. And at this point, I've got to where I can hardly get an erection with her.
Well, here's the deal. She is a sexual abuse survivor, right?
Not that I'm aware of. But
You might ask her about that, because that's what creates this kind of it. Either that or she's bipolar manic. That's basically how you get like this.
Okay.
It's not a, so to speak, normal sex drive that to be needing sex three times a day. That comes out of mania or sexual abuse. Secondly, men, when a woman comes on that strongly, where it freaks them out, they become like a turtle. They start pulling into their shell, and they start shutting down. And then they get a little disgusted sometimes too. And then it's over.
The woman?
Yeah, they get disgusted with the whole situation, and then that's a complete turnoff, and then you're in trouble.
Yeah, I've had to deal with this in my house on an interesting level. I have the same issue as your girlfriend does, and then I am.
But
rather,
you're not three times a day. Well, when you're on steroids.
When I'm not taking Prozac and my other pills, and then that's once a day.
Once a day is different than three times a day.
Right.
That's different.
But the thing is that I have implied that I want sex mm-hmm. while she's angry.
Mm-hmm.
I've implied that I want sex when her feelings are hurt about something.
Mm-hmm.
What happens, and I hate to say this because I worship my wife, what happens is it demoralizes them. Everything their mommy or daddy ever told them about men just want to treat you like meat becomes completely true, and that's what's happening to you in reverse. You're becoming
objectified.
Thank you.
Yeah,
objectified. I see, I'm Aussie.
Exactly.
Objectified. That's what's happening, is that you're feeling like you're getting pushed around and mistreated just for your sexual favors. And I've never, I don't think, been in that situation, but having witnessed it in my own relationships, I can see where it would hurt your feelings.
And I think men have a...
I felt odd about feeling that way. Like, is that a feminine thing to feel like?
No. Guys, you know? Yeah. This whole thing is a deeply, deeply psychologically disturbing thing. They literally, I think, on a fantasy level, are feeling like their testes, their phallus is being taken away from them,
right.
Kind of thing.
I agree.
They lose control over all the things that are part of them.
Was there a point where you really liked the three times a day thing or the as often as you wanted thing?
Actually, I feel like, she, from what she told me, she was previously married as well. Her husband passed away. And
She killed him.
No.
He effed him to death.
He died from cancer. And she said that in their relationship...
Not nearly as funny.
She did not have a sex drive. They hardly had sex. He was always aggressing her to have sex, and she was always turned off and didn't want it.
Well, one of the things about
started dating.
Hang on, I know you want to think that it's you're such a hot commodity, Shane. But one of the things about being a sexual abuse survivor is that you'll fluctuate between shut down and hypersexual. And so she really fits the profile of a sexual abuse survivor.
So you think you should go home and say, you know what, is there something we should talk about?
Are you, you know, and if she's sexually, you know, there's multiple ways to approach it if she was an abuse survivor. I mean, you can go to a therapist that specializes in trauma or go to an SA, 12-step, you know, for sexual compulsives.
You know, I got to tell you, of all the things I've been to that ended in A,
you don't like
that
SA?
Was one of my least favorite.
Well, you went to SA.
Oh, hell yeah. That was the first place they sent
me. Did you read what that means, though, when you hate going?
No, that's not that. It's just that I had it geared up. First of all, the first thing you think when you're going to a sexual anonymous is you're going to get laid a lot.
Now, hold on now. Let's talk about it, because no one ever talks about those meetings. What was that like? I mean, to the extent that you cannot, without violating tradition.
I don't know that I will or will not violate tradition. I won't violate anyone's privacy, that's for sure. But I found, first of all, pretty gay.
And
I don't mean it's a gay thing to do, like, you know, you say, that was so gay. It's very gay.
I mean, a lot of homosexuals.
A lot of gay
there.
Men.
Because gay men tend to have sexual compulsions.
Right.
And one of the ways to become gay, one of the ways that gay is sort of made in the lab, is being sexually abused by a male in your childhood.
Right.
Okay.
So. Now, the second part, the women weren't there because they sleep all around where everybody can't control themselves. Almost all of the women were there because they're obsessed with a man.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about, I've had all these sexual partners, I can't control myself.
So it's love and intimacy compulsion.
It's, I love him and he's gone, I can't think about anybody else, I think about him day and night, oh my God, I sit outside his house,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually call it sex, love, and romance disorder in a way.
Yeah.
I just went to SA, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
But then when you discuss it, especially the romance.
There's SLA and there's SAA and, you know, there's other
sex
programs.
Sex, love, and romance, and that's where I went as well.
Okay.
And I went because of my obsessive behavior with romance and with, you know, as soon as I got dull, you know, my wife was deadened to my overachieving in the romance department and the 600 roses in the house. I wanted to give them to somebody else.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get obsessed. I got obsessed with the feeling of making a woman feel really special.
Uh-huh.
I just like that.
Interesting.
And then here's one of the weird parts, though. You send 600 roses to a girl.
Yeah.
You tell her she's the most wonderful thing in the world. You tell her you've never felt this way. Well, pretty soon they kiss you. And if you don't have sex with them, they're going to go, oh, he's gay. You're almost a slave to having sex with the girl you've courted so with such earnestness.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, you open that door.
I've opened that door, and there's no way out. I mean, I probably told her I loved her. at this point.
Whoever this person was.
Anybody. Several somebodies. It's been, you know, I'm 46, dude. I've been around this block.
Fair enough.
All right.
So the meeting, the people get up and...
Same meeting you ever saw. Same meeting. That ends in A.
And the other thing, a lot of talk about aggression, as I understand. The white book, the white essay book, a lot, opening chapters are about aggression.
A lot of them are about aggression. A lot about aggression, obsession. You know, because what it is people don't move on. It's almost usually about their last relationship.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's, I think...
bet these days there's going to be a lot of sort of child obsessions and stuff like that, too.
Yeah. Not that I've heard.
And stripper and prostitute.
Oh, the people I was with were stripper and prostitutes.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, the people I were with were just a train wreck in a bunch of ways, because that's how I ended up at that meeting. I went to a bunch of meetings with people that had those problems. I'd see them at every A meeting there was. You know, we were at Debtors Anonymous. We're at this. Do you know Debtors Anonymous?
Oh, yeah.
We're at every Anonymous in the world. And they said, hey, come to this Anonymous. But I didn't tell them I'd been to hundreds before at doctor's orders.
We got to take a break.
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Drew. All right, it's Dr. Drew. I'm Danny Bonucci. This is Loveline. Our phone number, get on the phone, 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty, it's Loveline again. That phone number, if you want to get in, we got a couple lines open. 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, Danny Bonucci answering your questions. And Dr. Drew, I just want to go and help this young lady right off the bat, because I think this is fairly easy. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
We're well, thank you. What can we do for you?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say, although I was born early in 1996, I do know who you are.
Thank you.
And I have seen reruns, so...
I am not rerun. He's the rather large black guy in the beret that goes and does that weird dance.
Haven't you seen Danny, the Breaking Bonaducci show?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Haven't you seen his new show, Breaking Bonaducci?
Actually, you know what? No, I haven't.
Oh, my.
You know, I don't think I get paid extra if she watches, so I'm comfortable.
All right, fair enough. I thought everyone had seen that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Laura, what can we do for you? Because, actually, I know what your question is, but I just want you to get it out there for everyone, because I think I've got the world's simplest answer for you.
Okay, well, I have been dating a guy for about a year. We are very happy. We never fight. I am so in love. And the only problem I have is twice now this has happened where he will be either falling asleep or waking up. And if I try to wake him up to either move him, like, from the couch to the bedroom or, you know, put a pillow under his head or cover him up, he will respond in a negative way, like, you know, leave me alone, and he'll call me his ex-girlfriend's name.
Ooh.
Okay, well, what she's done there, did you see her hedge her bet?
Yeah.
She's only doing something negative when he says it. All right, here's the thing. Try putting the pillow over his face and see what he calls you. Here's what I would do. I have had that happen to me exactly once.
Oh, really?
And I did it to my wife once. We were in Atlantic City. It was years after I saw the girl, but I'd been to Atlantic City with her.
Ooh.
And we're in Atlantic City, and I was winning a lot of money, and I said, hey, Deb, blow on the dice. And my wife's name, of course, is Gretchen. And it is now 14 or 13 years later, I still totally regret it.
That moment.
Here is, you can make all the excuses. It throws me a little bit that he's so nice, you get along so great. I would never tolerate it, not in a million years. It would hurt my feelings so badly.
Absolutely.
That I could never, ever, ever tolerate it. And I'd give this guy maybe one more girl name, and then I'd leave him.
What's her name, the other girl?
Is it okay to say it on the radio?
Yeah, but it's not like...
Ashley.
Okay, it's not like Laurel or something. Now, how long was he with her?
No, it's not. It's like relatively close. He was with her for 2 years.
And what does he tell you about that relationship?
He was with her for 2 years, and he ended up leaving the relationship because sexually she wasn't on the same level as him. She was very, I guess, modest. She wasn't into anything. He just wasn't doing it for him, and he wasn't in love anymore. She was constantly calling, constantly at his house, spending the night there every night without asking, not seeing his friends. She was
Laura, if you really love this guy, you should probably just go ahead, change your name to Ashley. By the way, Laura, that whole story you just told me sounded like a load of crap.
Yeah, me too. Did you get that done?
Yes. Yeah. Whatever he's telling you, it's what you want to hear, but that's not why he left.
He's telling you one thing that you don't want to hear, and that would be
her
Ashley.
Name. Yeah, her name. Yeah.
Aside from that, he's telling you everything you want to hear.
And by the way, got people that wake up irritable and negative like that, it's kind of weird. What's that all about? You're just trying to give him a pillow and... So this guy's up to something. I don't know what he's up to, but...
What do you think? Here's a change of subject real quick. Any chance he's doing it on purpose? To bug her?
No, I don't think so. I think that would be really bad.
Because I do stuff to bug my wife sometimes. I don't know, sleep with her friends, whatever.
This happens, he says that, but I can tell after a year of being with somebody that he really does feel bad and he beats himself up about it.
About what?
About calling me Ashley, because I will, when it happens, I just kind of wake him up and I say, you just called me Ashley, and I mean, he'll get either, the very first time angry because, he didn't understand why, and then he just feels bad, and he apologizes, and there's nothing else really that he can do because, he said it, and it's too late now.
All right. So. Well, there's some other reason he left old Ashley, because the nonsense story you just told was everything you wanted to hear, but that's not really why he left.
Right.
So,
yeah. But, on the other hand, the doc does not think he's doing this to irritate you. This is a legitimate thing he's doing.
I think she left him or something happened. Something.
I got it. This is that guy.
This is that guy who just treats his girlfriend like crap all the time. And finally she goes, all right, I've told you I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. She breaks up. He goes, I'm going to be an angel. I'll come right back. Anything. I can't stand losing you. He comes back. He tries again. He starts behaving like an athlete. And she leaves, and that's the end of it. Guys, certain guys cannot tolerate when women leave. They can't tolerate it. Even though they're the ones that set it up, they're the ones that really kind of want it to happen, they can't tolerate it. He is one of those guys.
I hate it when you look at me when you're just talking about
me. No.
You can at least disguise that you're not talking about me. So what would you say the outcome for Laura is?
Just to be on her toes. I get a little bit of addict stuff from this guy, too.
Right.
Yeah. And just to be on your toes. Know what you're dealing with. Don't believe what he tells you. You trust your instincts, okay?
Hey, by the way, just so you know, Laura, in my opinion, that goes for all men. Not necessarily that they're lying to you, but you should
trust your instincts.
Anything that comes out to some sort of benefit for a man of any way, shape, or form, you should consider there's a chance that you're being manipulated and or lied to.
It's so funny. I've been accused of being sort of jaded and negative about men, but Danny, you outdo me on every front.
It's just that I'm so bad. It's just the things I have done to get sex. I mean, nothing else. I have done, reasonably aside from an injury to myself, I have done no breaking up a happily married couple just so I can sleep with the wife once.
Oh.
That's mean.
That's bad.
That's wrong.
Yeah,
that's luckily, they're so ashamed they never tell. So it's kind of a bonus. This is kind of an interesting call right here. This is Roxanne. Hi, Roxanne.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, I was just talking to the person before you, Lance, I guess was his name, and he was asking me, what my question was, and it was that I date, a guy who's 26, I'm 19, and I was just like, my question was, is it, I guess, bad, our compatibility, I guess, because my dad, totally disagrees with it, but then, my mom, she doesn't really care.
I have a question real quick.
Yeah.
And that is, what's your question? Is there a question you want answered?
Well, I don't know. Just if it seems like so bad for a 26-year-old to be dating.
Roxanne, hold on one second.
Okay.
I want you to close your eyes, Danny, for a second, and listen to the voice and tell me how old the person is who's talking. Ask that question again, Roxanne. I don't know. Yeah, ask the question again.
Oh, is it so bad for a 26-year-old to be dating a 19-year-old?
Does that sound like a 19-year-old?
No, it sounds like a 15-year-old.
I'd even say a 10-year-old. So what happened when you were 9 years old, Roxanne? What happened to you?
Nothing. When I was 15, my dad hit me.
Ooh, good one. You got 15. How about before that, though? I'm getting even younger. Was he abusive that way even when you were a littler kid? Or did you see him beat your mom up or something?
No, but he was verbally abusive to my mom.
And you never were sexually abused or anything yourself?
No.
And no one ever touched you in ways you didn't want or hit you other than until you were 15?
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry for suggesting.
Yeah, did you get that? I got that.
Oh, no. Just only 15-year-olds are allowed to be punched in the face.
Oh, no. I'm just saying, No, I wasn't ever...
You don't sound like a 19-year-old. You sound like somebody who's sort of arrested in their development. And the fact that you have some traumatic history, as I constantly say, the things that happen that make you terrorized in childhood become tremendously attractive when you hit your age.
So you believe that she is 19, but whatever happened to her happened to her, right. And that's where she got arrested.
Right.
And that's also now why
she's incredibly attracted to the much older a-hole that her family's all upset about.
And by the way, to all the women out there that really dig the a-hole guy, I would like to thank you for many, many good years. You know, they just made my life so easy. You just walk in the biker jacket like Fonz, and they go, okay, that guy. And thank you very much, and I truly appreciate it.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, how dare we have a conversation,
Roxanne? It's your show, Roxanne. What do you want?
Go ahead.
Well, I just, because, like, the guy I date right now, he's, like, he's not an asshole, but, like, I was telling the person before, he's an alcoholic. But nobody in my family had ever had a problem with drinking.
They had a problem with other drugs?
My sister, but not my mom or my dad.
Well, your sister had to get that problem from somewhere. So we might predict that your dad maybe, what was he doing?
Well, my dad was never around.
Okay. Well, when he wasn't around, he was out doing drugs.
Right. So what we've got so far, let me break this down, because all I had was, is it okay for a 19-year-old to date a 26-year-old?
Right, which is
Let me get what I've got going now.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it okay for a 19-year-old who had some trouble when she was between 10 and 15 to date some 26-year-old guy with no job and a probable drug habit?
Alcohol.
And that's where he spends his time, alcohol.
Where's my bourbon?
It worries me because her sister is out doing blow all night.
Yes.
That's what we've gotten. Is that correct?
And she was punched and beaten by her dad. And let's see, there was something else in here, one other piece. I forget what it was now. But anyway, so you were traumatized, now you're attracted to the loser guy, and there you go, Roxanne. It's not about the fact that he's 24 or 26. It's that you've had trauma, and you're hell-bent on finding your dad all over again, who's the abandoning drug addict or alcoholic, and now you found that guy, and you should enjoy. You've casted somebody perfectly, and they will play that role for you just the way you deeply, deeply wish.
Do you mean that sincerely?
Yes. That's what people do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, is there any way that they'll survive it? Or does it have a super short shelf life?
You know, you ask, you're behind, I'm standing up to answer that question.
I can tell it's a good question.
It's a deeper question than on the surface. Because in their case, no, it's going to explode. But are there situations when those unfinished businesses of childhood can serve as useful dynamics in a relationship? And the answer to that is probably yes.
Wow.
Because that's where passion comes from. And so if somebody's got some weird unfinished business and it fits with somebody else's unfinished business, but they can communicate and they have resources and they get therapy and they can do 12-step when they get whatever, that can work. That can be very renewing.
That sounds to me like something they're not teaching anywhere. That sounds to me like something through your work. That's the Drew theory. Because you think that it's just got dynamite written all over it.
You're right. You know who said that to me explicitly once was Florence Henderson's husband.
Were you hypnotized at the time?
No, he was a therapist, if you remember.
A hypnotherapist as well.
Well, he had all kinds of stuff, but he was a man. I spoke to him, and he made kind of sense. And he goes, because we were talking about these issues, and he was well aware of what this all meant. He was pretty tuned in, and he goes, sometimes that's not such a bad thing. Sometimes he goes, as long as you have process. This was his words. I brought this up with Florence Henderson a number of times over the years since, and she goes, oh yeah, that was his belief. As long as you have communication and you're working and you're committed and you get treatment where it's necessary and you stay on top of things, and provided the traumas weren't too horrible that you're acting out with one another, and then it can be a source of renewal. So the point is, judge not. You know what I'm saying? I'm not judging. I'm just explaining.
All right, just so you know, that if I'm here on my own one night and I get a call from a guy who sounds kind of my age or a little younger and says, hey, I talked to Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady, all the time. I'm going to know it's you. I'm going to tell you, Dick Paxel. Hello, this is Lisa. Lisa, you are on Loveline. What's up?
Hey there. What's going on?
Hanging in.
A little frustrated.
All right.
So, anyways, I've been sexually active for about 3.5 years and been on birth control the whole time. And ever since I started having sex, I basically would bleed afterwards for anywhere from, like, an hour to 3 weeks after.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten severely worse. I've been with a guy for about a year now, and it's...
Are you on the pill the whole time?
No ring.
But the whole time, when you have the bleeding, it's when you're on a hormonal contraceptive.
Yes.
Okay, well, that happens all the time from hormonal contraceptives.
Well, that was cool.
What's the big mystery?
Well, okay, so I've been at a doctor, like, a few times about it and spoken with them about it, and they think that I might have endometriosis. And
yeah, you might not. It's probably not, but they do an ultrasound, they do a laparoscopy, whatever. But
they
in fact,
laparoscopy, but they did, like, ultrasounds, didn't find anything.
Yeah,
and
you just, listen, Lisa, calm down. What is the big deal? Why is this such a big deal?
We know, because she doesn't know what you know.
But why is this a big deal? Why are you all freaked out about this?
Dude, if I was bleeding every time we had sex, I'd call 911.
If you had Depo Provera, you'd be bleeding continuously. They don't stop bleeding.
But sometimes your doctor doesn't tell you. You flip out and go, yo, I'm bleeding. Let's call Dr. Drew. Well, stop yelling at this poor girl and cure her.
All right. Why do you know why that freaks you out so much if it's a normal side effect of being on the birth control pill?
And my question is, did somebody tell you it's a normal side effect?
No, they didn't, and they said that they have no idea why it's going on, and it sucks because, you know, you want to go and have sex, but you're bleeding, and the blood isn't red, it's brown, so it's like...
Yeah, the guys are fine. Your boyfriend's fine. He'll survive it. He'll be all right.
I don't think he's very fond of it, though.
I don't think he gives a rat's
Not being fine with it is different. If you were to call this radio station and say, listen, I'm dating Danny Bonaducci, and every time we have sex, my head falls off my shoulders,
and
he won't stop.
Blood all over the room. Yeah,
and he keeps on going like the ever-ready bunny, and I'd have no big problem. Your boy, Dr. Drew is right. Your boyfriend has no big problem with this.
But he does.
No, he says he
doesn't cut off the sex, see how long that lasts.
Right, he'll get over it very quickly.
And that includes oral. Do not please him. Do not bring him to climax. Ooh, let's be horrible. Let's get him very close to climax
and then
finish and see if he doesn't find a little tiny brown blood to be acceptable.
I don't know about that. It's pretty gross. It's definitely a big turnoff.
No, Lisa, that you're freaking out about it. He's fine. He's fine.
You with us on this?
Danny and I did not confer about this beforehand to see if we agree. We're telling you independently, he's fine. He'll survive it. And you freaking out about it is you freaking out about it. I know it's unpleasant. I know you'd rather not have it, but you'd also rather not get pregnant. You've had the proper workup. You want to make sure that you don't have thickening of the lining of the uterus. You want to make sure you don't have endometriosis. You want to make sure you don't have a uterine infection. You want to make sure you don't have an ovarian cyst. They've done all that with a pap smear and a pelvic exam and an ultrasound. Now, get on with things, all right?
All right.
All right. Good job right there. I believe we have time. And there's some great calls I want to get to, but this just popped up, and I really like it. Sarah, you're on Loveline.
Give me that black book. I'll show you something.
Okay.
That black one. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi. I have a problem with faking orgasms.
Oh, faking orgasms.
You're the only
orgasms.
Chick in the world I know that has a problem faking orgasms.
No, I don't like...
Oh, God.
I thought she was talking about this.
Yes.
Oh, what a
well,
try.
I don't want to, but I can't help it.
I can't do it.
But I can orgasm.
Hold on a second.
I just.
I've never seen somebody's face light up as well as Dan. That's what I handed him.
He handed me an article called "Persistent Sexual Arousal Syndrome in Women." I'm thinking bitching, and it's written by a chick. Two chicks, two PhD chicks that want sex constantly.
No, is that they constantly have orgasms constantly all throughout the day.
I've heard about that.
Yes, it's uncomfortable for me. I don't like it.
I watched an old girlfriend. I didn't watch. I saw the back of her head, actually. But she was sitting on my motorcycle, my dirt bike. And she's a small girl, so I was riding around her, and she's pressed right up against the gas thing. And all of a sudden, we're going up the side of this pretty serious dirt hill, and she just starts going, whoa! We almost crashed, dude. I was mad. Like, what the hell was that? She was really embarrassed to tell me. When she told me, I couldn't get her off the bike.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, so
Sarah keeps... She's from Alaska, first of all. That's part of the problem.
Right.
And she's faking with... The same guy, different guys?
Same guy. We've been together for a year.
Well, here's the deal about the faking things. Once you start, it's sort of a path you go down that you don't come back from.
Uh-huh.
And you do it a couple of times. Now the guy starts expecting it. You start obliging. And now it's weird. Now how do you stop doing it? How do you, he's like, what's the matter? What's the matter? You didn't, that time it doesn't happen.
Really good call, man.
Yeah. And how
my advice was going to be excellent. Keep going. But just be sweet.
But here's what the problem is. Then the young ladies start blaming the guy for the faking of the orgasms that she's doing. She gets resentful. Uh-huh. You're supposed to know that I'm faking it and make me stop and make me have a real orgasm because you're not magical and insightful like you're supposed
to.
Now,
is there something, have you ever had orgasms?
Yes.
With a man?
Yes.
And how are they brought apart? Manually, orally, intersex?
I could probably count on one hand how many times I've had sex, like an orgasm during sex.
during intercourse.
I can count on one hand exactly how I have orgasms.
Well, but, yeah, I orgasm from oral sex all the time.
All right, so it's primarily oral sex.
I can do it.
Yeah, yeah, oral sex. Yeah,
and can I, real quick, just as off topic, a shout-out, is that what the kids call it, to my homies out there, boy world? There's an expression, a lady always comes first. It's a polite thing for dinner, if you're opening the door.
Why don't we
it's
do it here, too?
It's a fact. Yeah. That is a fact. All you've got to do, and usually it's oral anyway, mm-hmm. is make her finish. Then your shortcomings, if you will, are unimportant to her. Mm-hmm. You have completely, or at least as much as you can, satisfy her, and then you can take care of yourself. But people will leave you. They'll tell their friends that you suck in the sack. Make sure your girl finishes.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
thank
so
you,
Sarah,
Danny Bonucci.
So this guy is not doing oral sex, is that right? Or at least not doing it properly?
No, he... During sex or oral?
He's not oral doing sex. Oral sex properly.
Oh, he does. He can do that.
And then why aren't you letting him bring you to orgasm that way?
Well, I don't know. Well, we do it, but not like...
All right, he's not doing it properly.
He's not doing it the way you like it.
Sarah, here's the deal. You just make him do the oral sex thing. You'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Just teach him how to do it. You know what?
I don't feel a sense of it. Guys love guidance. Sarah, don't be afraid.
Guidance is a thrill, man. And when I was single and I would be having sex with an essential stranger, because let's just get out in the open, super slut Bonaducci, and I would convince them, because if you just say it casually, just tell me what you want. They don't. They don't think you believe
it. No.
If you're holding their hands or kissing them, you touch them, and then you like maybe hold their chin, whatever it is, they know they're in a real conversation here. And you say, so you can either be real serious and say, you know, this could be an uncomfortable thing or a wonderful thing. You need to tell me exactly what you want, and I'll do it. And as soon as I can see in their eyes they believe me, they say, you know, sex with somebody you love is so much better than sex with somebody you've never met. You throw in the extra bonus of never met them, yet still good. I got to go with sex with a stranger every time, if at all possible.
Thought you were married, huh?
I am.
Hi, Gretchen.
Hi, sweetheart. I didn't mean recent. I didn't mean within the last decade and a half, you crazy, wacky nut, you.
Oh, my.
Okay, we have to take a quick break. Once again, that is Dr. Drew. Our phone numbers at Loveline are 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Danny Bonaducci. Please give us a call at your leisure. Alrighty, it is Loveline. He is Dr. Drew, a real-life doctor, so stop being ashamed. And I am Danny Bonaducci, and if you talk to me, you should probably be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 1-800-LOVE-191. That's our phone number. That's 1-800-LOVE-191. You want to just jump right back into him?
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested in this because, in a way, I have done this. Hey,
oh,
Jenna.
Wait, hey, before you talk to Jenna, hang on a second, okay? I wanted you to talk a little more about SA meeting. Well, let's go to Jenna. We'll talk more about it before the night's over. But the whole what goes on inside of SA meeting. People know, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm an alcoholic. But the SA meeting, people are, what?
I'll be happy to tell you of my few experiences there, because they weren't what I expected them to be, so I stopped going.
But I know people are very unhappy they go to SA meetings.
It's a sad. I mean, when people tell their drug stories, no matter how hideous they are, there's an air of...
bravado.
This is cool. Yeah. You know, there's not that.
SA is so steeped in shame.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it's all about. It should be called Shame Anonymous.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they have that. Jenna.
Yes.
You're on Loveline with Dr. Drew. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? All right. My problem is jealousy. I don't know if it's insecureness because my dad did, put me down when I was younger, but then I don't know what it is. And I also had a boyfriend that lasted, 3 years, and he was kind of, really jealous with me.
Did you cheat?
No, I never
cheated.
No.
Never
no.
did.
No. Hmm. Honestly, no. There's no reason to, and there was no room to, because...
You're doing more, though, than being jealous. You're actually active in your jealousy. You have behaviors because of your jealousy. What are they?
Yeah, I'll check phones. I don't know. I don't really know what it is.
You're fat.
Yeah, and then I also became a dancer.
A stripper?
And that made me feel better, I guess, because people were seeing me as, maybe it's just insecurity. I don't know.
Let me see if I've got this straight. You're a little bit jealous of your boyfriend, so what you do is you take your pants off for money, which makes you feel better about yourself.
No, I don't do that anymore.
Topless only?
No, it was just topless, yeah.
Yeah, this sounds like that.
But I don't do it anymore. I mean, I did it when I was single. And then, I don't know, it just made me feel better about myself. So I had more confidence, and I dressed a little bit more.
And yet, how did it make you feel about men? Seeing how those men behaved in those strip bars.
Like pigs. But, yeah. I mean, they're not all like that.
Yeah, yeah, but think about how you felt about men, how it made you feel men, about men, how it made you see men, and how you felt about men participating with you in your little sort of crusade there.
Yeah, and I never really trusted. I don't know, I was always...
Right, shy. they all become, your boyfriend becomes one of those guys leering at you in the strip bar.
Yeah, also I have one other thing. It's because my boyfriend, he likes to watch other girls. Like, he wants to always watch porn when we're, you know...
Right, so it's another guy. He's just another one of those just despicable guys that you need to have control over by dancing in front of them and that you hate for participating with you in this.
Yeah, and
generation.
Then also, like, he always wants...
It's true, it's how they get in. That's
if
they,
there's one more also, though. Oh, my God, also
the
what?
The closer I get, the more she jumps off it, so...
Because I thought this was going to be a happy little call. I tell her what to do and everything. Fine, now it's a whole thing.
Welcome to Love Line.
No, but, like, is that wrong or is that fine?
Which part?
Where girls are dancing in front of...
Look,
know,
it's all about your dad, Janet. It's all about your dad and him being an a-hole, and let's get on with it. Let's get on with it.
And that's fine, though, right? If we're going together, then there should be no problem to be, you know, jealous or anything, right? I mean, I don't know.
Of course you should. If he's watching porn and being interactive with porn and likes to watch women together, you can fairly assume, and I don't know if it's true, but you have a right to assume you're not enough for him, or at least that's
no.
the implication or yeah. the inference.
Yeah,
if guys look at porn, that's...
Because I'm thinking he should be
if a guy looks at porn, that means that the girl's not enough?
No. If he looks at porn, a girl can reasonably infer that. I didn't say it's true, but chicks are weird.
Got it.
That's what my wife says.
Got it.
I'm just kidding.
Got it.
Okay, because here's the thing that I was going to tell you from personal experience. I dated a girl one time, a grown-up woman, as a matter of fact, and she said, "I'm sorry, I'm so needy." Mm. And I looked at her right in the face and I said, "You could never be too needy for me." Mm-hmm. And I caught her one time spying on me in my bushes, and I could not have been more flattered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are certain guys that like that. It's a gaze. And so, you know, this girl likes, I consume her.
Remember, you know where that goes, though.
Yeah.
That goes to her boiling rabbits and getting violent with you and that kind of stuff. You got to be careful.
Yeah, it's just because I put in so much to the relationship and I just want the most in return and I don't want to do it for nothing. You know what I mean? I don't want to.
Oh, Jenna, cut with the BS. That's just BS. Stop it.
So what's the deal, Doc? Tell me.
Well, that's all that stuff on the surface there is BS. Dad was an a-hole. and you've proven yourself that guys are a-hole, and therefore all men are a-hole. Therefore your boyfriend's an a-hole. Let's get over that.
By the way,
we?
You don't need any of that. Just the last sentence, as far as I'm concerned, your boyfriend's an a-hole. 80% good bet every time.
But be that as it may, it's time to get over it. And not an a-hole in the sense of the hurt child, but the overwhelming, you know, the father that she loves is letting her down.
Right.
That kind of a-holeness is not what all guys are about. Guys are simple and they're sort of sexually driven.
Why don't chicks get that? How simple we are?
Because, you know what? Because it's disappointing.
When they find out that there's nothing to us?
It's very disappointing. Because remember, Dad was a man, too, and he really liked it. No.
No, Daddy brought home the bacon and worked really hard and took care of his kids. How come other guys are just like some simpletons? All right, I get it.
Yeah.
Ryan, you are with us on Love One. Go ahead, man.
How's it going, Danny and Dr.
We're
Drew?
Good.
Hey.
Have a fear of oral sex.
What's that mean, exactly?
Not
getting or giving?
Giving.
Okay, because I can see there was a news report about a girl who bit one off because she was mad.
Oh, yeah.
I was scared for a month or two right there.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Down a bit.
Honey, how pissed are you? Because maybe we can wait. But you're afraid to give oral sex. What are you afraid of?
Just doing it wrong. I possibly hurting. I don't know.
So you've never tried it?
No.
You sure it's not a convenient reason to avoid giving it?
Not really.
You like to do it, but you're just fearful of it.
Yes.
Can I do my best here?
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. When you're down there, the little thing looks like a button. Stay right there. Don't move. Don't get fancy.
Yeah, stay above the vagina.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. Because
you think you're being intimate when you do all that stuff down there?
No.
And maybe it's intimate and they appreciate the effort, but it doesn't give them a sensation. There's very little you have to do.
Small area. Ryan, are you afraid you're going to be humiliated?
Yeah, in a way. Like, not doing it right.
You keep repeating in that turn, right? We keep telling you what to do. Have you ever had a girlfriend?
You almost have to have your tongue chopped out of your mouth to do it wrong.
Have you ever had a girlfriend?
Yeah, I've been with a girl for a year and a half.
And you never did the thing to her?
No.
And she stays with you?
Yeah.
Is she in the car with you?
No.
damn. Dude, here's what I want you to do. The next time this opportunity arises, if you have no other fears but your abject humiliation about doing it wrong, and by the way, if you do it wrong after this conversation, I'm just going to come where you live and just smack you around a little bit because you're not that far. It's literally, you can see it. It's the answer to all your questions are looking at you. It's right there. It's not a big deal. Just stay there. Don't get fancy.
Okay.
Right?
The conversation is so silly. You're yelling at him about the simplicity of the female human vulva.
I'm threatening to drive out this town and beat his ass. He's not far from here. Look.
It's slow, rhythmic, circular movements.
On the clit.
Yes. That's what Dan is talking about. Slow and easy.
And you could put, it's just cool to say you can put a digit inside her.
If you, sometimes. Don't get fancy. Here's the deal. Do not assume, and this is universal advice for everybody listening. If you are a male, do not assume that what your partner wants is what you want. If you are a female, do not assume what your partner wants is anything like what you want, because they have different biological systems. They operate differently.
Right. They're all different. Yeah, I agree with you there. And because I've heard girls brag, because I used to hang around with a pretty nasty group of women, and this is when I was married. This was recently. This was at some of those groups. And they would, say stuff that was pretty out of line. If I didn't think it was fine, I loved it. I loved these conversations. But if my wife was there, she'd have been mad. But girls would say stuff like, oh, and I give the best one ever. And I'd go, that implies there's a bad one.
Right.
There's really no bad. You can do a couple extra tricks, but they're all really pretty good.
Right, same thing.
Once a girl has said, yes, it's the best one ever. A girl said to me, what's the best one you ever had? And I said, the next one. that's just the way you got to go. You got any preferences here, Doc?
Let's take the Danny thing here.
You want to take a Danny thing? This poor person's been on forever. Yeah. Jessica, how are you on Loveline?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're extraordinarily well. Thank you. What's up?
I have a two-part question. First of all, I was recently diagnosed as bipolar.
Right.
Well, that was in January. And I was wondering, is it normal to just have my psychiatrist constantly up and down for medication, changing it, taking me off of this, putting me on that, giving me this?
Yes. How long have you been how long has this guy been prescribing meds?
January.
Yeah, that's fine. What he's doing, it's called cocktailing, and what he's doing is he's mixing and matching, and he has got to wait to see the results on you, also probably usually taking blood levels, but they're really, if you say you're a manic depressive, for my manic depression, I take lithium and Lamictal. It's a very small dosage of anything. So if he gives that to you and you get nothing, he can't dump both pills. He'll probably dump lithium and add something. And by the way,
you're not going to start with Lamictal. You start with Depakote.
Boring.
The point is it takes, 4 to 6 months to figure out what's going to work with you, that side effects, and stabilize you. So.
Okay.
So the answer is yes. What's the second part?
Oh, well, I was just wondering if I have a really difficult time getting attached emotionally, and I cannot attach emotion at all to sex, and I have multiple partners and everything, and I'm wondering if maybe that can be attributed to my mood disorder.
No, I'd say not. That sounds like an attachment problem and or sexual abuse.
Well, she didn't clarify. Are you having, multiple partners this evening? Or, one guy tonight, one guy tomorrow?
No, just kind of going through, sleeping with one guy for so many months and moving on to someone else and never really developing an emotional attachment or any kind of relationship.
That's pretty standard. Being bipolar does not just make you have those highs and lows. Sometimes, and I've said this in my therapy, that it can make you have a detachment to almost anything. Mm-hmm. There was a time when you could not catch my interest, no matter what it was I had to do, any neat place I had to go. The answer was always the same. Hey, we're going to go to Disneyland or climb Mount Everest or go skydiving. And I go, no, all right.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. So that's really normal. You're absolutely okay, all right, Jessica?
But were you a sexual abuse survivor?
Yes.
Okay. So that's
sure it goes.
That's where that comes from. And
well, that was actually a problem before the sexual abuse happened.
No, I know. You probably something happened before, you don't remember it. But here's the deal.
She can feel it coming.
Were you adopted or something?
No.
Was there some problems very early in life where people weren't around, your parents weren't around the way they should be?
No, not at all. I actually had amazing parents and amazing.
No, I'm talking about very early, before, did you hear that your mom was away for a long time when you were an infant or something, or that your parents would leave you with nannies or caretakers or anything like that, very early?
No, never. My mom actually did in-home daycare my entire life so she could stay home with my brother and I.
Hmm. So it's the sexual abuse.
It's the sexual abuse. But let me ask you, that. What age did this happen?
The sexual abuse happened when I was 20 and I became sexually
active. No. That's rape.
That's rape, yeah.
Well, you must have had a childhood sexual abuse experience, too.
No, I didn't.
Well, sometimes it's usually the case that there is something like that. When somebody's raped in their teens, early 20s, most commonly, I'm not saying exclusively, but most commonly there was some other antecedent victimization. That's what makes you a good victim later. As you freeze, you can't come to your own defense, and so these people have their way with you. And that re-triggers a post-traumatic stress reaction very often.
Right.
Even without that, what sometimes happens is that women become very sexually compulsive after a rape. It's almost like, you know, remember what I was talking about how, as a way to try to master experiences that cause terror, you seek them?
Yeah, absolutely.
It happens with rape, too. Women will all of a sudden go, I can't understand this. I'm so upset about this sexual thing I had, and yet I'm going out and having sex with all these guys I don't even want to.
Right.
You need to go out and get some treatment for that, Jessica. Talk to the psychiatrist about that too. Okay.
Yeah, I do. I see people and all that stuff. Okay.
You may want to get some specialized rape counseling because that can be helpful.
Now, can any doctor do that, or do you go? I mean, any psychiatrist, or is that a special area you go to?
You probably want some. With her, all that behavior and stuff, you'd probably want a specialist.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a scary world out there. Huh?
You're learning, huh?
I hate
learning
that.
How scary it is. You don't like it, though.
Because, well, I think of myself. The good news is that I think of myself.
I'm going to ruin your buzz. I
know.
Really am. I'm going to ruin
your buzz. Yeah, totally. I think of myself as, like, pretty screwed up, but okay. But, you know, I've got to control all these things. And then I find out I'm a pretty decent guy. And that wrecks my game. My whole game is bad guy. You know, I go right after the chicks that dig jerks.
God forbid you care. God forbid.
It'll wreck everything. This is Loveline. Our phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Alrighty, this is Loveline. He's Dr. Drew. I'm Danny Bonaducci. Our phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Please feel free to give us a call. We got some great calls. Is that about my voice?
Ricotta. The hell is that?
I've gotten that before. That's why I recognize it. There are other not particularly humorous board ops.
New sponsor we got, Drew. They just started.
They're going to give us all week. Could use a little. Oh, you're a dick. Let's go to the phones. This one looks particularly interesting to me. It is Jennifer. Good morning, or good evening. Yeah, I guess that's almost right.
Some parts
What's
of
up?
The country.
Yeah, right.
Hello. I have one question. My boyfriend likes to have sex like a minimum of 4 times a night.
Oof.
And we're like, yeah. And so, like, we're together, like, at least 5 times a week. So, like, when I tell him, like, no, he's like, says, are you serious? And it kind of makes me feel bad about myself. I was just wondering if that's normal.
What do you mean, like, 4 times a night? You mean he has to orgasm 4 times a night?
Well, if he cranks 4 times.
As opposed to
orgasm, right.
Yeah, that's excessive. That's not normal.
That is excessive.
Yeah, that is not normal. That is
normally I would so go to bat for this guy.
Yeah.
But this is not right.
Yeah, once a night would be pushing things.
Are you uncomfortable? I mean, physically, are you sore?
Yeah, so that's why I tell him no, you know? No more. And then he's
all right, let me help you out there a little bit. Because I've had this issue with my wife before. Don't tell him no. Because that's your demanding no. You're telling him what to do. Appeal to his sympathy as your boyfriend. Let him know, honey, I'm sore, sweetheart. Are you going to do this and hurt? No, you know what? I will tell you, if a girl tells you she is sore, and I hate being a decent guy, but if a girl tells you that she is sore, you're just shy of assaulting her.
Right.
If you insist.
That's right.
You know, you are knowing in advance you're going to cause this girl pain.
How long does it take him to do these four... emissions?
Well, 4 is the minimum, but so it's pretty bad. But
you know what?
How often? How long?
Between 5 and 15 minutes each time.
So you're still talking about an hour and a half of activity.
Yeah.
That's,
I could light a cigarette off this girl.
Yeah,
just,
right.
That's a lot of friction down there.
And that's how many nights a week?
5 at least.
All right, so that comes out to approximately 20 times a week.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's
minimum,
insanity.
Yeah.
And I'm almost, if you didn't sound so sincere, if this was your boyfriend calling and telling me that he does this, I'd say liar.
Yeah.
I'd say you're a liar. No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, because it really concerns me because I'm telling him, you know, like, no, like, I don't want to, because it's just because, you know, four times, like, we do it way more than that sometimes, so, like, four times, and then I tell him, like, no, and he's like, are you serious? Like, well, like, if I do something wrong, or, like...
Stop telling him no. Tell him you're hurt.
Yeah, you're being hurt by him. You're being harmed. What are you guys doing for contraception? Oh, God.
Condoms.
Oof.
Don't tell me with ridges.
No.
I just don't see how that much fluid flying around. I worry about you getting pregnant. Four times a night.
That much fluid going around. I'm worried about his eye sinking back into his skull.
Yes, him turning inside out and his soul coming out his penis.
Wow. I really do. If it was, I completely believe you, Jennifer, but I want you to know that is the answer. And I'll tell you this. If that is not the answer, is to tell him that you're sore and it hurts. That, in fact, and I mean this sincerely, is no gentleman. That is no gentleman that would hurt his girl.
I don't know how a non-manic person could produce that much activity.
No, me either.
He's got to be manic. But anyway, so set some law down, Jennifer. You have a right not to be harmed by your boyfriend.
And
okay?
That's the facts. I mean, if your boyfriend's willing to hurt you on purpose, it's just because if you want to call it sex, what if he bashed you over the head with a lamp?
Right.
Well, that hurts on purpose. That's He's right. hurting your genitalia on purpose. He has no right. Right? Are you with me
Absolutely.
On this? All righty. Let us go to, I believe we've got Dana on here. Dana.
Yes, hello. I was wondering, is it possible to lose your ability to orgasm?
Is your boyfriend getting fat?
You know what? We both got fat and happy.
All right, I rest my case, doctor.
Are you on medication?
No, I just... Oops. I don't know if you count birth control on the NuvaRing.
Yeah, sometimes that can affect people, but not typically. And you were able to orgasm easily before?
Yeah, like when we first started dating, because we've been together for 3 years, and we first started dating, we used to have sex like all the time, like 2 times a day at least. And it was like every single day. And then like last year, we moved, so we don't really have time to have sex. And when we do, it's like I can't orgasm. It makes me sad.
During intercourse, you can't orgasm.
Yeah, but, like, sometimes, like, when he goes down on me, I feel like I know I can't orgasm.
Are you just too uptight? Is the relationship not going as well anymore? Are there other issues coming to bear here?
No, I don't think so. I've been really sad lately. Like, my dad died last year, so, like, I kind of forget him all the time.
All right, so as I said, Dana, there are several different reasons women get into this kind of a slump. One is medication. And by in medication, I would also include birth control pill or the NuvaRing. That possibly may be having an effect. Number two, some interpersonal problem. Something's going wrong in this relationship, or you don't have enough time to feel intimate with your partner. Three, something's wrong in you. You're depressed. You're too stressed out. You can't, focus on sexuality because you're too worried about other things. Another thing would be childbearing. Have you had a child?
No. Thank God.
Okay, and so you got depression, and you got some interpersonal stress, and not enough time.
Let's not forget she's gained a couple of pounds. How much weight have you put on?
And that doesn't help.
Since we started digging, I gained like 30 pounds total, but I've lost 15 of it.
Okay, so. That's not too bad. Because
women, they don't feel sexual,
right.
Feel pretty, that can also
affect that. That's the thing. I mean, if women don't feel pretty
or
sexual, they cannot, in my experience, really commit totally to be open to you because they're really afraid. Oh my God, I've been fat in my day, and I can be done for the last 5 minutes, and things on me are still shaking, and I don't care at all. But a girl gains a couple extra pounds, has a little blemish on her cheek. Yeah. It's not
and
the
here's
same
the,
night.
The crazy thing about the difference between men and women is if a woman says, I don't look good, I don't like how I look, I can't feel sexual, the guy says, no, you look great to me. I'm very attracted to it. Then her feeling is, you don't understand me.
Right.
You don't appreciate how much this means
to
me.
If your woman says to you, I'm feeling so bad about myself, and you say, don't worry, I'll wear a hood over my head. She's just going to think you're cold and callous.
Right. We can't win in that.
I think we have a brief moment for
Real quick, Chris.
For Chris.
Yeah.
Okay.
Five.
Oops, sorry about that.
VF5. There you go.
Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
Not much. Hey, Danny, it's great watching you on the quote-unquote train wreck as you speak.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Ears. Thanks, man.
All right. Well, hey, my question is this. I've been dating the same girl for about 5 years continuously.
Right.
She's been dancing for 4. I'm a bartender. I've been bartending for probably about 2.5 years.
Same club?
No. Tell them. Okay. There's no way she or I would make any money if we both dealt with the same club, that's for sure.
Why? Okay. Why?
But my question.
Well, worked at the same club, I see, yeah.
Yeah, well, my question is this, is that we, probably within the last year especially, we both cannot get off sexually unless it's like an exhibition thing, like, and yeah. say, like, the blinds open just a little bit. My curiosity is the fact that, like, her and I both have trouble climaxing unless we realize we're in this type of situation.
Because the doctor can answer this in a real way, I'm going to answer this in the way I think is best.
You got 20 seconds.
And that is, don't do it around your own neighborhood. That's all. If you dig it, go do it. Don't do it in your own neighborhood.
And secondly, when you need higher levels of arousal, that usually means that either A, you're doing drugs, or B, something happened that sort of burned out your normal arousal system, like sexual abuse or something else, or sexual compulsions.
Right.
So it means other things, Chris.
All right. Well, I mean, I would definitely say drugs have been part of it. I mean,
yeah.
cocaine has been throughout
the... Yeah.
There's your answer right there. Dude, when you start doing enough blow, you think all sorts of stuff is fascinating. All righty, kids. Our phone number real quick, 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, Danny Bonaducci, this is Love Line. This has been a fascinating evening, Dr. Drew. Thank you for having me again.
Indeed it has.
And if I haven't done any great damage so far, I believe I'll be back tomorrow night.
You'll be back tomorrow, and Hoobastank will be joining us.
That is so cool.
Yeah,
I'm so
awesome.
Excited about that.
Cool.
All right, I guess we're done, right?
That's it. Then I'll say goodnight and stay well.